United States of Horror
may contain some graphic
or explicit content.
Listener discretion is advised. Merry Christmas! Happy holidays!
I hope everyone's having a wonderful Christmas this morning or tomorrow or the day before.
Whatever day you're listening to this. Wow. Anyway.
I hope it's merry. Hope you have a lot of food, a lot of presents, a lot of cheer.
Exactly.
Hope everything's wonderful. Anyway, sorry about that, guys.
I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Jeff.
And we are
the United States of Horror. Ho, ho, ho.
Horror. So we wanted to make this episode something unique.
Unique?
Not quite by the book.
I like books. Some books.
It's going to be a fun little episode for you to listen to, you know, in between opening presents, maybe drinking bottomless mimosas.
Eggnog and rum.
Ooh, yeah.
Whatever is your cup of tea. Get it? Okay. Anyway. Or your milk.
Ew.
And your cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that cool
stuff. That's good stuff. So, anyway.
While you're walking around the Christmas tree, listening to our podcast, what we were discussing today, Kaylee?
We are going to be talking about the 12 murders of Christmas.
The mass murders, Christmas murders, child murders. So I got excited.
We just went and found some interesting stories, and we are referencing crimeandinvestigation.com.uk. So these stories aren't just from the United States, but they're some
UK.
From all over.
Yay.
So we're just gonna get right into it, and so you guys can get back to spending time with family.
So you want to go first, Kaylee?
Sure. So the very first one, a grim gift left under the Christmas tree. When 37-year-old Patty White offered down on her luck Michelle O'Dowd a place to stay over the festive period, Michelle was delighted at the Christmas spirit being shown to her. But White had an ulterior motive, one involving stealing all of the new housemate's credit cards, killing her, and leaving her among a trashed Christmas tree to look like a bungled burglary.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. The scene was discovered by Michelle's twin brother, Phil, who went to check on her after she failed to show for work. There, amongst a pile of unwrapped Christmas presents, he saw his sister's foot. Patty White had been beaten and strangled. Oh, sorry. Patty White had beaten and strangled the 67-year-old and left her among the gifts. She would receive a 45-year sentence from a South Carolina judge for her vile crime.
That's not very nice.
No.
You just give people life and hope and presents and niceness, not death.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas, you're dead.
Go ahead and stay here, but I'm also going to kill you, so.
At least give her, you know, some cookies, like gingerbread cookies or something.
She might have, you never know.
You never know. Thank you, Kaylee.
You're very welcome, Jeffrey.
So, this one is the couple stabbed man in face, bashed in his skull, and set light to him on Christmas Day in Kill Bill plot. So, reading that, I was like, what? What?
That's a lot.
Victoria, Australia. Okay, that explains it.
They go hard in Australia.
Or it's Christmas Day 2013. Bunstead is spending the night with his loved ones, William Bill Stevenson's. Pay the ultimate price for keeping poor company at his friends.
Meth addicts.
Oh, Australia on meth? That's even worse.
Oh, God.
Oh, what's going to happen, I wonder? Meth addicts, Danielle Kerr and Darren Lewis. Kill him in one of the most violent ways conceivable. Their motives not entirely clear, the pair drove Stevenson out to bushland and began beating him about the head with a large rock.
Oof.
Oh, wow. Crikey, mate. It was a rock. Kerr then stabbed the man to death while cackling about their Kill Bill plans. The couple then set the car alight and casually walked home. Thankfully, they were both be arrested and charged and convicted soon afterwards.
Good.
Oh, we didn't get away with it, boy. Sorry, guys.
I would hope not. That was terrifying.
I hope everyone doesn't hate my Australian accent.
It was Stupendous.
It was down under bar?
Sure. Something like that.
Don't mind the dogs in the background.
So number three, marvelous teen gang indulge in sickening festive killing spree. So I read a little bit about this one too, but there were four of them and they called themselves the Downtown Posse.
Oh, sounds like my gang.
Very cool. To the police and courts though, they were simply Lauren Taylor, 16 years old, DeMarcus Smith, 17, Heather Matthews, 20, and Marvelous Keen, 19. Between Christmas Eve and Boxing Day, 1992, the gang went on a murder spree in Dayton, Ohio, and would see five innocent people die and four seriously injured. Led by Keen, the gang's primary motive was robbery, but things soon got out of hand.
Sorry about that, guys.
Things soon got out of hand as Marvelous Keen grew paranoid about snitches and effectively turned the holiday season into hunting season. For his central role in the Christmas killings, Keen would go on to become the 10,000th American convict to be executed since the death penalty was reinstated back in 1976, while his cohorts would receive life sentences.
Happy 10,000th!
10,000th!
On a special day, Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Christmas.
Speaking of Christmas.
Speaking of.
Ho, ho, ho. Hope you're having a good day. So, this next one is search for missing Bristol woman turns to hunt for her killer.
Oof.
Interesting. So, Joanna Yeet. Disappearance a week before Christmas in 2010 made local news in Bristol. And a side of fries, please. Almost immediately, soon the search and appeal broadened and her whereabouts were of national interest. On Christmas Day, her body was found in the snow, 3 miles from her home.
Aww.
The case achieved notoriety. I almost messed that one up.
I know, I could tell.
So, the case achieved notoriety for the media. Ah, man.
Whoa. Why don't you just start over?
I had too much eggnog and rum.
I guess so.
The case achieved notoriety for the media's handling for the first suspect, Joanna's eccentric landlord, Christopher Jeffries.
Always Jeffries.
Always Jeffries.
Always.
That's why I like being called Jeff.
Got it.
Because name me one good Jeffrey. Actually, I know a lot of them. I won't tell you this joke now. I'll tell you guys later.
Okay.
Anyway. Hounded and effectively labeled the murderer without proof, UK tabloids, The Mirror and The Sun later found guilty of contempt of court for the poor coverage. Jeffries would later vindicated when Mrs. Yeet's Dutch neighbor Vincent Tabak was arrested and charged with her murder.
That still happens today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's
especially
exciting.
When it comes to murder and stuff. So we have to glorify or go after certain people.
Well, they want to be quick to just like pull the trigger and blame someone, even if there's not enough evidence, or evidence may be circumstantial. So.
Yeah, or like the news organization, the media, they want that first hit, the first click, the first views.
And yeah.
That could technically ruin
the
case.
That could ruin people's lives, for sure.
Or they can show evidence by accident and let them get off.
Yep.
Anyway.
So the fifth one I am not going to talk about because it is something that I would very much like to cover in the future, and it's not something that I want to do just a blurb on. So number five is JonBenet Ramsey. If you have not heard of JonBenet Ramsey, don't you worry your little hearts, because we will talk about her in the future. But for now, just know that she was murdered on Christmas Day, and the circumstances surrounding her murder was very, very suspect.
Very controversial.
Very controversial. It's something that has been made... It's been in the news for a very long time. There's been documentaries made. There's a lot of questions surrounding her murder.
Let's just say My sister was also into pageants.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom might have met them.
Exactly.
So
we're not going to say a little blurb about them. We're going to do a whole entire story, maybe even a multiple part series. But we will go on to number 6. Transgendered Edinburgh woman stabs neighbor 29 times over Christmas present dispute. Oh, the spirit of Christmas.
Keeps giving 29 times.
Murdered for not liking a gift enough? Well, that was the excuse that 37-year-old Melissa Young gave police when she was arrested for the brutal killing of her next-door neighbor, Alan Williamson, on Christmas Day of 2013. Young later claimed diminished responsibility and that mental health issues were behind the sustained attack. Which, I mean, can you truly be all there if you're going to kill someone over a present?
I mean, I guess it depends how much they liked it.
Oh, Jeffrey.
That's when I smother you.
At the time, though, her motive was given as rage due to Williamson's dismissively rejecting her Christmas present of a pair of unisex trainers and a copy of the Sun newspaper's slightly raunchy 2014 calendar.
Kinky.
Young pleaded guilty to culpable homicide in 2014 and was sentenced to a minimum 20-year sentence. Since being jailed at the woman's prison, HMP Cornton Vale in Stirling, she has seriously assaulted 2 female prison officers. So hopefully she's in there for longer than 20 years.
And hopefully she gets some help.
Some serious mental help.
Ooh. So I love The Nightmare Before Christmas, by
Me
the
too.
Way. Halloween and Christmas is my favorite time of the year.
Yep.
So Jack Skellington is me.
Mm-hmm.
And our
Christmas tree is black and has Halloween-themed ornaments.
So this is not part of the story. We're just telling you,
no.
Maybe give you a little bit of joy in our life.
Just giving you a little tidbit, a little bit of information about us.
Tell us about your Christmas trees and your Christmas ideas. What do you do with your family on Christmas
Day? What are your Christmas traditions? Hopefully not stabbing your neighbors.
That many times? At least stab them once or twice. Not that many times.
Or don't get caught.
Don't get caught, exactly. So, a Christmas rampage. This is another story. December 28th, 1987, Ronald, of course Ronald, Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons?
Ronald Rock! Yes!
Oh, gosh.
Walked into a law firm in Russellville, Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Pirate Kansas.
Oh, I'm sorry, everyone from Arkansas.
And shot dead a receptionist who he was infatuated with, but who had spurred his advances. That's not nice. Then he went to the office of an oil company and shot 2 executives, killing one and injuring the other. He then drove to a convenience store and former place of work and shot 2 more people. Didn't we talk about this?
I don't recall. I really don't even know.
I don't remember. Well, I'll just give you this preview again. Ronald. Let us know if we
Yeah, made it's Ronald McDonald Gene Simmons.
Yeah, we did this one.
I think we did.
I was say it sounds exactly like
oh, what we so if about. You want to know more about this, just go to our Arkansas episode.
That's why I said Kansas. Our Kansas.
Oh.
Pirate, yeah.
We did a whole story on this guy.
So I gave you a little tidbit.
Wow. Look
at the rest of it. And then there's this, Kaylee.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and fire tore through the house. This is number 8. On Christmas Eve of 1945, in the city of Fayetteville, West Virginia, a suspicious fire tore through the Sauter family home. Guess what? We talked about this one, too.
So, we're good at this.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love came to me.
All these dead, burning children that we never saw again.
Jeff!
They never saw them again. They don't know that.
If you want to know more about the Sauters, we also did an episode about them. Wow, Jeff, what are we going to do?
In West Virginia? What? Keep reading. I mean,
West Virginia.
That just means we're really good at our job, Kaylee.
I guess so. We've told these stories before.
And if they haven't listened to them, and they listen to this, go back and listen to them. We'll go deep detail.
What did you even just say?
If they haven't listened to our previous episodes,
okay.
They find this one by chance.
Then you need to go back and listen to those episodes.
They might find us on a Christmas playlist this
time
around.
Nobody's going to listen to this.
They might. We might be on Spotify, and they're like, oh, Christmas podcast.
Oh, perfect.
And like, oh, these guys are idiots. I love them. And then they're going to go back and be like, oh, they're worse.
They're terrible.
They're terrible. I cannot wait. Mm. So, here's the next story for you guys. The first and last family photograph the Lawsons would ever have taken. North Carolina tobacco farmer Charles Davis Lawson made his wife, Fanny.
We're 12.
Fanny has a big fanny.
Oh, gosh.
And their seven children put on their Sunday best for Christmas Day morning, 1929, for they were to go into town and have a professional family photograph taken. A rare treat for such a poor family. Later that day, after sailing back home, Charles would set about methodically beating and shooting his wife, along with six of the seven children, until they were dead. The child spared, Lawson's eldest, 16-year-old Arthur, who Charles had sent on a needless errand before his vicious massacre. Charles Lawson's motive was never determined.
Wow.
I've actually heard this story before.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
That's why I don't like getting pictures, especially with family. They're like, okay, guys, we're going to look really good today. Please just look good for me and my family. And we're going to go here. And they take you out somewhere nice, like Red Lobster. Uh-huh. And they say, get whatever you want. Buy the new Xbox and PlayStation 5. And then you're like, okay, Dad, what's going on?
Are you
can
okay?
Can I go to the store?
Oh, no.
So.
10. We're getting close to the end because we skipped 3 stories.
Because we covered 2 already.
A murderer so sick and twisted it would disgust even Halloween.
Do the boogeyman? Jack Skellington?
I don't know.
Me?
Christy Bamu was just 15 when he was tortured and drowned in a bath by his own sister Magali and her twisted boyfriend Eric Bikubi. It was Christmas Day 2010 when the couple finally killed poor Christy after a sustained and brutal 4-day torture session at their more than 130... I'm starting this over. It was Christmas Day 2010 when the couple finally killed poor Christy after a sustained and brutal 4-day torture session at their flat in Newham, London. When his body was found, more than 130 separate injuries were counted. That's rough.
Yeah.
The 20-something Congolese couple's excuse? They believed Magali's younger brother was a witch. Eric was ordered to serve at least 30 years in prison, while Magali received a minimum of 25 years for the unimaginably horrific killing, which is not enough time.
Why did they get that much? They're killing a witch. They saved the day. They're heroes.
Jeff?
You had to drown the witch. Or burn the witch.
Let's go take a walk in the woods.
Ooh, please shoot me. Want to go take some pictures, Kaylee?
Yes, I want to go take a nice family photo.
Oh my. So, here's number 11. Stagger Lee. Almost sounds like Swagger Lee. And a seasonal showdown. Lee Shelton was a known criminal and pimp. What up, brother? Who went by the nickname Stagger Lee. Famous now because of the folk song he would inspire, Shelton wasn't a man to be trifled with, as William Billy Loins was when would discover to his cost. This murder took place on Christmas night, 1895, in St. Louis, Missouri. Stagger and Billy were drinking and playing cards together in the Bill Curtis Saloon when, wouldn't you know it, they got into a dispute. Lyons snatched Stagger Stetson's hat and, well, you've seen Western. Stagger Lee drew his gun, shot Loins dead, and the rest is history. History and song. Yeah, boy. That's awesome.
What song? Oh.
Yeah?
Wait, what?
What?
No.
Look at the song, guys.
It's Stagger Lee. I think it's just Stagger Lee.
Stagger Lee.
I don't know that song. Do you know that song?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe if we played it.
The only song I could think of is I Shot the Sheriff.
But I did not shoot the deputy.
I don't think that's it.
Oh.
So.
I don't think that's it either. So number 12. Drum roll, please. Please don't drum anything.
Oh, okay.
Don't do it. I saw you.
Okay. Brooch.
The Santa Suit Slaughter.
Ooh.
I know. It was Christmas Eve of 2004 in the small city of Covina, just outside of LA. Parties dominated the neighborhood. 1129 East Knollcrest Drive had around 25 close friends and family enjoying each other's company. At around 11:30 p.m., a knock at the door came. Standing on the other side of the door? Santa Claus. At least that's what the 8-year-old girl who answered the door thought. But it wasn't Saint Nick. It was a man called Bruce Jeffrey Pardo. Another Jeffrey. The unstable and violent ex-husband of one of the women at the party. He was holding a 9mm pistol in one hand and a flamethrower in the other. He had a further 3 handguns in his possession. Cruelly and methodically, he went about shooting everyone in his sight before setting alight the house. 9 people would die and 3 would be badly injured. Pardo left, driving to his brother's house some 30 miles away. He had planned to detonate a series of handmade explosives and then make his escape to Canada, but the fire had caused his Santa suit to melt onto him, causing severe third-degree burns. Instead, Pardo decided to put a bullet in his head. We hope he didn't put off your mince pies too much. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Wow. I can't believe Santa came packing gifts tonight.
His Santa suit melted onto his body.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
He was really lighting up the party that night.
It was pretty lit, so I've heard.
And, you know, he got ahead of everyone. And
everybody was doing shots.
Everyone was on fire that night. Oh, man, we're bad.
Okay, sorry.
So, I wonder what, like, that's crazy. A guy in a Santa suit? Imagine just seeing a guy driving down the road, all those bombs and stuff.
You know, I can't imagine what was going through their minds at that point. I truly don't.
So, Kaylee, you want me to tell you one more little story?
Yes, please.
All right, so, here, surprise everyone. This is the Christmas zombie horse.
Christmas zombie horse.
I like Christmas and I like zombies and I like horses.
Same.
And I like the.
So, same.
It's called the Mary Lloyd. The M-A-R-I space L-W-Y-D.
Space.
It matters. It matters.
Okay.
And L-W-Y-D. So.
Interesting.
M-A-R-I L-W-Y-D. You know, with that space in between. And so that's what you get. This macabre skeleton mare of Welsh tradition rises from the dead and wanders the streets with her attendants, who are also fresh from the grave, to remind the living of their existence.
Oh.
The Mary Lloyd has only one goal in mind, to get you into your house. To keep the zombies horses out, you must engage in a battle of wits, and rhyme no less, usually on New Year's Eve, where the undead mare is represented by a puppeteer parading a horse skull on a pole draped in white cloth. So it was more of a New Year's thing, but I always thought Christmas, horse, Halloween, New Year's. It's like the seasons. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Hopefully, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
We need it.
We'll see.
So that's all. I don't know. I saw it was interesting. I saw the horse. I'm like, ooh, pretty.
Pretty.
And Welsh. The Welsh is horses.
Yeah. That's pretty fascinating. Thank you.
Do you have any cool facts for...
Yes. Instead of a weird law, I was going to present you with a weird fact about Christmas.
I love a Christmas carol.
There's a few different ones that I really like. So first of all, I'm going to tell you two of them because I liked both of them. So Jingle Bells was written for Thanksgiving and not Christmas.
What?
The song was written in 1857 by James Lord Pierpont. And published under the title One Horse Open Sleigh. It was supposed to be played in the composer's Sunday school class during Thanksgiving as a way to commemorate the famed Medford sleigh races. Jingle Bells was also the first song to be broadcast from space.
Wow.
So very interesting.
So everyone thinks it was Mariah Carey? All I Want for Christmas is You?
Oh.
It was really that.
Yeah.
That was original Mariah Carey. Thank you, Kaylee.
You're very welcome. And then the next one is, Santa stretches time like a rubber band in order to deliver all the gifts in one night.
Ooh.
So, according to UNICEF, there are 2,106 million children under the age of 18 in the world. Fun fact. If we assume that each household has an average of 2.5 children, Santa would have to make 842 million stops on Christmas Eve, traveling 221 million miles. And given the different time zones, Santa has 36 hours to deliver gifts. Therefore, his average speed would be approximately 650 miles per second. So, it is less than the speed of light, therefore it's theoretically doable, but still quite hard for a chubby old man.
Who says he's chubby? That's discrimination.
He eats cookies and milk from each of those houses.
That is true.
So, 842 million cookies and milk stops. Assuming they all have cookies and milk.
Assuming.
So Larry Silverberg, a professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at North Carolina State University, suggests that Santa uses relativity clouds to get the work done. Relativity clouds, based on relative physics, allow Santa to stretch time like a rubber band, which gives him months to deliver gifts, while only a few minutes pass for the rest of us.
Interesting.
And isn't that fascinating?
And that's why technically he only works that one day of the year.
But exactly. But it's months. It's actually months. No wonder why they have to get on making Christmas presents like right away.
That's... Well, why can't he just do the rubber band thing for the whole time?
He might.
Well, this just blew my mind, Kaylee.
I know.
Why is this guy spending this much time and money what do you do for a living? I find out. Why Santa Claus? How I can do it in one night. I figured it out, man.
Well, I think that he's a professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering. So he just took his personal time, I think, to do this.
Yeah.
But still, I think that's so fascinating. We're going to have to go through and talk about relativity clouds and like that sort of stuff because I find it fascinating.
I do
too. So just a little bit of math for you guys to enjoy.
I hate math. All I know is
me
plus food equals happy time.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, this was our Christmas episode, and then next week we'll have something fun for New Year's. Who knows? We haven't really even made those plans yet. We're just, you know.
Going with the flow.
And then we do have North Carolina.
I think so.
We did a bad math. So we have North Carolina, and then that's it for the states. And then we're going to go on to season two, which season two is going to bring about a lot of fun stuff. We're going to try and do some bonus episodes. Maybe the New Year's episode. Just keep an ear out, and we will give you guys a little sneak peek as to what those are going to be like.
Yeah. And thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much for listening, taking the time off of your Christmas day. Yeah. Assuming you're listening the day of.
Jingle bells, I like cookies.
Hopefully you got everything that you wanted.
Remember guys, UFO Area 51 is all cookie. Government gives us cookies.
It's a conspiracy!
It's a conspiracy. Prescott Girly Street Grill.
All right, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Whatever you celebrate, we hope it's a wonderful day regardless. So.
Exactly. Jeff here.
Kaylee here.
And we are
the United States of Horror.
Horror.
All right. Bye.
Bye, guys.